Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
George is right. That's a great bit of music, but... You know, everyone was expecting, you know, something political or heavy or something from Bob Dylan. And he came up with an album that had this vibe on it, you know.
It does sound like we're crossing live to him doing his ironing.
I can't believe that there were 44 years of my life. Well, I didn't like this guy. Now he's like a god to me. Here's the thing about Bob Dylan. He believes the world was made in 7 days and it's 3,500 years old. He's a creationist.
Does he, though? Or yeah. Has he just been...
Nope, he's a creationist.
Awkward.
Yeah, no, he does. Yeah, no, he does.
Yeah, no, he does.
A, B or C. Yeah?
No.
Or he does. No, he does. Yeah, no, he does.
Does he believe that completely? He either believes that completely...
Come on, Nish.
Not at all. Or a bit.
There's a joke for three people. yeah, Bob Dylan believes that... believes the Bible as the literal word of God.
I just don't believe you.
Well, it's true, honestly. It's incredible. It's incredible. He doesn't talk about... Because he had, obviously, the big late 78 to about 81, he released three or four Christian albums, mm-hmm. right? The very, very bleak Christian albums. Basically, you're screwed. Yeah. Yeah. And his record sales just diminished and diminished and diminished and diminished. And then he kind of, every now and then he'll put like a Christian song on an album, but it'll be a little bit muddied, you know, the lyrics will be a little bit vague, and he doesn't talk about it very often anymore. I don't know if that's probably not a commercial choice. I'm sure he's not bothered about that, but he doesn't. But every now and then he'll just, you know, say, I believe the literal word of God, and we're bam, it's gonna the Lord Jesus Christ is gonna come back to earth. Yeah, it's going to be raptured. And I'm going to be taking up the Holy One. Yeah, all citizens. And the world is 3,500 years old. And anybody who says an evolution is a thing is a sinner.
So we've got this idea for a book. Right? So we had an Ofcom complaint, and I don't want to go into that because that's irrelevant, really. But what it meant was we got to see a bit of the show typed out.
We were faced with it in all its bare face, black and white. Outrageousness.
Right, so Catherine, you be the caller. You do the invitation that gives me that I then do the list. It's written down.
It was something like, how about you come round to my place for tea?
No thanks, mate. You sound like a sex offender. Now, that's kind of normal banter. That's what the complaint was. But seeing it written down was funny, man. And then there was a whole chunk of the show with me saying something and Kath saying, what did you say?
Don't you dare ring him back.
And he goes, I'm not. So then we thought, right, wouldn't it be cool if other bits of the show were written down? Because I never listened to the show. And sometimes, if I'm driving on a Saturday night and they're playing the best of because they're too tight to give us money to do a show on a Saturday
night. They pay me for that.
Oh, right, okay, fine. I would come in and do it live.
Yeah,
for slightly less than the fee I get for this. We are coming in and doing two shows on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. One in February mm-hmm. and one in March.
Yeah.
Because they owe us.
Yeah.
Scumbags. I don't know when they are. We'll let you know. Occasionally, if I'm driving on a Saturday and there's the best of us, I will listen. I'll listen for 2 or 3 minutes. And I enjoy it. I don't enjoy listening to me, but I enjoy the vibe of the show. But it doesn't really make me laugh. But reading the transcript yesterday, I was sending it to everyone going, read this, man. This is funny. So we've got this idea for a book, okay? And what we'll do is we've just decided that any money we'll make, Samaritans we'll go for?
I think so.
They're struggling a bit at the moment. I don't know if they are, actually, but when I phoned them twice on Sunday, there was no answer.
So any profits, it'll be slim profits, any profits that we make will go to the Samaritans. That way, no one can cry foul and say, but we did all the work and you're trousering the money. And I guess we'd find a way of getting it published online. So there'll be a way.
We'll work it out.
We'll work it out. But we want to put together a book of transcripts of your favourite parts of the show. It could be, talking to Barry from Watford. It could be arguing with Rainbow George. It could be, Nigel from Maidstone. It could be Andre. It could be anything.
So far, I've got...
Have you actually got stuff? Who's done this?
Lou's done one.
Derek did one for me as well. Thanks, guys. What have we got?
So Lou likes Chuck Winkle. So we've got a Chuck Winkle. I think it is three words that can make a woman.
Okay.
And let me see what Derek sent me again. I did save it. Where have I put it?
And have they sent you the audio as well?
They've given me the link to it on YouTube.
Okay, cool. All right, fine. That's a good idea. Because we will need to split it between us and just double check it.
Yes.
Just to make sure no one's trying to sneak in, Catherine being anti-Semitic or me being anti-black. Or something.
No, they'll never catch us with
that. They'll never catch us.
We're too good.
And who's the other person?
Derek sent me one as well.
Hey, Derek.
Derek was
willing
to do everyone's work for them. He said, I'm willing, I've got nothing to do.
Derek, do as many. Listen, you want to do more? You do as many as you want, buddy. By the way, John from Highbury's calling in. You're never getting on the show again. You suck.
Oh, he just loves it, doesn't he?
He loves it. You do as many as you want. You don't have to do just one.
Yeah, the one that Derek's done is Ian's fiery argument with Paul from Stoke Poges.
There we go. Beautiful. Hey, listen, that's great. Well, in that case, the book has started. If you want to do one, dear listener, then loads of clips are on YouTube or you can get podcast stuff. I'm not going to tell you which bits to do because I don't remember them.
No, and I also find it really interesting, the bits that you like rather than ones that I would pick. You know?
What we do, when we get enough together, I'm guessing we're going to need, I don't know, maybe 40,000 words, something like that. We'll find a way of getting a book published online. It'll be Unbound or something, one of those ones where they print it on demand. You'll all get a credit in the book for your work, and then we'll put it online. Any profits made from selling the book, we will give to the Samaritans. And then, at some point after that, we'd like to do a live show where the profits would not go to charity. They would go to us, let's be honest. We would like to do a live show where it is performance pieces by you and maybe some of my celebrity friends. I'm sure Mackenzie Crook would help out. Paul Garner, I've been texting, might help out.
I'm available.
Okay, but so the celebrity friends. Doing live performances, interpretations of the text. So it wouldn't be, you'd have to learn, act it. You could do it how you wanted it, but it wouldn't be like in a radio studio. You would take it out of the radio studio and you put it in B-Jams? Or
the laundrette.
Or you put it in the laundrette, or you'd put it on the bus, or in school, or whatever, okay? We'd have a mixture of live stuff and filmed stuff. I'm sure I can get Mackenzie to help make a nice little film or something with that. And we'll have an evening of it. And Kath and I will get rich. High on the hog? Is that a phrase? We're going to get high on the hog, on the thousands of pounds that will make, because putting live stuff on takes a lot of work. But if you want to help with the book, find your favourite bit and transcribe it.
And send it to me.
And how do they get
Catherine.
To you?
Catherine.boyle@talkradio.co.uk. Katia is already saying on Twitter, yes, I'd love to do that. I'll transcribe. It's too hot.
Beautiful. I don't know what that is.
It was you going, it's too hot.
Oh.
It's too hot. It's too hot.
All right. Thank you, Katya. Do whatever you want, guys. And we look forward to reading them. And this will be something, this could be a little work of art we might have here.
Of course
little,
it is.
Little treasure. A lovely little treasure.
And that is a great thing about this radio show, right? Everyone gets something different out of it. Everyone has their own favourite bits. Yep. And also, we've got loads of really creative people listening.
Yes, we certainly have, Stanley. So when we get more of those in, I'll keep nudging you. And if you want to, when we get enough, we'll compile a book. 0344 499 1000. Good evening, G.
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but isn't that what the logbook was for?
I tell you, right, first of all, come off speakerphone because we can't hear you.
I'm not on speakerphone, I'm using an earphone.
You're on a what? An airplane?
No, I'm using a new
Honestly, this is such a terrible line. I can hardly hear you. It's very echoey but simultaneously muffled.
Oh, I can't believe that. Is that better?
That's better, yeah. Yes, well done. Right, what did you say?
I said, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but isn't that what the logbook was for?
No.
But I thought that was a transcription of the show.
Nope.
Oh, OK, so I must have got it completely wrong.
Yeah, you did.
OK, I'm a bag of shite.
Thanks very much for your call. Here we go. Here we go. And I'm learning a lesson here. 106 has texted in.
Uh-huh.
Who was going to complain to Ofcom about the music.
Right.
106 has texted in to apologise.
Oh.
Thank you, 106. Listen, I'm sorry for moaning. For the record, I would never complain to Ofcom. Here's the thing. I'm recovering from a serious illness, had a bad day. I come to bed to listen to your great work and felt grumpy when you weren't there with your usual stuff and playing music instead. I'm sorry I took my bad day out on you. P.S. I love hearing about your cats. 106, that is cool. I appreciate you reaching out. It was funny, though, because we got a nice little five-minute riff on complaining to Ofcom, and it did genuinely make me laugh that you would suggest that, you Muppet. But. I'm sorry to hear about your illness. I hope that you are well and truly on the mend, and I hope you tomorrow is a better day than it is today. And here's the thing about my cats. I've been feeding them tuna because I've been treating them, and they have been doing the smelliest poos ever.
Are you giving them, like, tuna in brine or oil?
In water.
All right, okay, cool.
Tuna in water.
I was going to say, because oil, that's...
Tuna in water. All three cats. So Velvet goes to the toilet in the bedroom now. The litter tray's there. And so I've been woken up in the night by the stench.
I mean, when
of
I came round today, I opened the door and it was like backdraft. Oh. It kind of, the smell licked up the back wall and along the ceiling and whooshed right in my face.
Oh, it was horrendous.
I did think, what on earth have they been eating? Tuna.
What did you forget, G?
Oh, I didn't forget anything. I was calling back to talk to whoever answered the phone because apparently I owe them one.
What do you mean? It doesn't work like that. You phone up and you talk to us. They're busy.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Bye.
I mean, really, this is not a dating service for Sam. So that's what's going on. And my cat, Mucky, still hasn't gone out properly. Lucky goes out when I open the cat flap. And today I open the cat flap for the afternoon. And every 5 minutes I just go, oh, my God, where's Lucky? I can't see her. And I would just go out and shake the bag of food and she would just come running back in.
Yeah. And so, at one point, Cass, go and see where Lucky is. So I went. I said, well, she's not outside. She's not in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And then I went out into the other room and I looked all around in the usual places, not there. And then I looked on the... chair, and there she was looking at me like, what? Yeah. What? I'm just, please, just leave me alone.
Oh, I need to say, 106, we're cool, and I appreciate that. So I got my cats are rescue cats, mm-hmm. right? And I'm going to tell you where I got them from in a minute, because they've asked me if I'd just name the kind of umbrella charity that the organisation, which I'm more than happy to do. But the two cats I got are black. One is completely black and one is primarily black with white bits, right? And this is the insane thing. They're rescue cats, so they were six months old. They were born in June, so I've made it their birthday. It's the same as mine.
Cool.
June the 9th. We're going to have a crazy time. But no one's adopting black cats. And a couple of people went to see these cats and then got there going, oh, no, I didn't realise they were black. Oh, no, I don't think so. And they didn't take those beautiful little girls home, who are the most adorable. And I know lots of you have got black cats, right? So if you're thinking of getting cats and you're thinking of getting a rescue cat, I cannot highly recommend black cats enough, man. And there's loads of black cats in foster homes. We had to leave their mum and their brother there.
They were beautiful cats and so friendly.
And do you know what? If I hadn't have had Velvet, who's a black cat, maybe I'd have taken all four. Anyway, they're living with their foster parents now, who are now their real parents, who've now got 15. Helen and her partner have got 15 cats in their house.
It's the best house, but you try and find somewhere to sit that's not got a cat on it.
So listen, I know that Roger is thinking of maybe getting a cat, and there are a few others, and I would never tell you what to get. If you want to get a different kind of cat, you go and get a different kind of cat. That is, you know, that's your business. But what I will say is... that black cats have given me the most pleasure that I could possibly have. Look, and so I had a message from June, who runs Travis Cat Rescue. Right, so I've got to give them a mention. Travis Cat Rescue. And she was just saying, we took a 12-week-old black and white kitten yesterday that had been dumped by the side of a really busy road. What? Sorry? He'd spent 24 hours hiding under a bush by the road. He was spotted by a lady who left him there until the next day, hoping he would go home. And she brought him in. Look at that. Look at that kitten that got dumped by the side of the road.
Oh, he's adorable.
So go and... Travis Cat is where I got mine. If you go on Facebook, and just look for cat rescue places in your area, there are dozens of them. Honestly, there are about 5 or 6 in my area. And then you've got... There's all different places. And just Google your area and cat rescue and stuff like that. And you know, if you want to choose a smaller little one, as a, you know, the RSPCA, I've got, you know, obviously cats and Battersea and stuff like that, but there's loads of little smaller independent ones where it's just people who love cats that are doing it. There we go. Done that. Right. Lovely. Thank you. Alan, stay there. You'll be next. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Listen. Phone. Talk.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Excuse me.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, I'm Martin Kellner.
And I'm his daughter, Ruthie.
We do a podcast. It's called Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
In which I tell him how he's wrong about most things.
And I explain to her who the Bee Gees were. It's on Acast and Apple Podcasts.
And all your favourite podcast providers.
It's a unique generation gap conversation between a baby boomer dad
and his Generation Z daughter.
That's Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Brand new episodes every Thursday.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I will read from the Kenny Rogers autobiography in a bit. It's a great book. I'm struggling to... I've been reading it since Christmas. You bought it for me for Christmas, I think. Yeah. And the last couple of books, last 3 or 4 books, I've really struggled to... And I love reading. Just get into the book. The Eric Idle book took me about 6 months, and it wasn't because it was rubbish. It was great. Although the end got a bit boring when he just kept banging on about being rich and hanging out with billionaires. But I just couldn't get into it. I'm struggling to crack books.
Is it concentration?
Yeah. I think it's hard.
I've been like that for about a year, and I'm on my second book in about a year. And I used to be able to read a book in a day, you know.
And there's so much I want to read. I tell you what's lovely. The boys coming over this weekend, and they come over 2 weeks ago, I think. And I've joined the local library. Mm-hmm. When I joined, I saw they had loads of books for sale that I thought the kids might like. So when I picked them up last time, I said, let's go to the library. They've got a load of books in there. And we can buy some. You can bring them back to my house. You have them on your bookshelf. Take them home if you want. But it means you've got books every time you come around to read.
Brilliant.
So we went around and we bought some. And then they saw a couple of books that they really wanted to get out. And I said, all right, fine, we'll get them out. And then Saturday night, the two of them are sharing the same bed because the youngest is too scared to go up to his bedroom in the loft. So they're sharing their bed with their little reading light, just sat there reading their library books like Morecambe and Wise. I'm in the bedroom across the hallway reading, probably was reading Eric Idle then. Or no, maybe I was reading Kenny Rogers. And we're just like 3 old men just sat there reading our books. But it's great. It's lovely. And then I just go, boys, time to turn the light off. Silence.
Yeah.
And went in. They were asleep with their books on their chests.
We had beautiful over the weekend. We've noticed that the girls, they're very into computers.
Like, yeah,
they
of
love
course
it. They love it, love it, love it. Of course they do. But there comes a time when you go, do you know what? We haven't sat together all weekend.
Yeah.
So we turned the TVs off. The TV is off and the computer's off. And they said, what do we do now? I said, well, we play with your toys. Or why don't you get a book? I'm going to sit on here with my book. and put my have a blanket on my knee on
on my knee.
Yeah, and we sat in a row on the sofa, reading our books.
It's great, I love
But it's been such a long time since they had to work out what they want to do.
Yeah. This weekend we're going to play some games. We're going to play some video games. We're also going to make. Well, here's the thing, right? So when did fairy cakes? Let's try and Alan. I will come to you, I promise. But this is really important, actually. And no one's ever spoken about this, and we're gonna blow your minds. When did fairy cakes become cupcakes? Uh-huh. I think around the time of Sex and the City.
Yes, probably.
But then now, so I said to my boy, the youngest, I said, "Why don't we cook something this weekend? We haven't done it the last few times you visited, and before we'd made like brownies and fudge. We made fudge. That was a big success. Fudge. It's just basically it's a bag of sugar and a block of butter.
What's not to like?
That's it. It's insane, man. I was looking at it going, "No, my God, the ingredient." And he said, "I want to make buns."
Right.
I was like, okay, what kind of buns? He went, chocolate buns. I'm thinking, right. So to me, a bun is a currant bun. But you don't know what a currant bun is. Is that a balm cake?
No. Like a tea cake.
Like a hot cross bun?
Yeah, like a tea cake.
A hot cross bun.
That's
is
what I call it.
But then you said...
Buns are fairy cakes.
So a bun is a fairy cake stroke cupcake.
No. Oh, no. Cupcake's got too much icing on it to be a bun. Bun needs to be a bit flatter.
No, cupcake is a fairy cake, right? And I asked you what you said. Oh, I've got some recipes for buns, and then you sent me recipes for cupcakes.
Yeah.
So what is going on?
Well, it's all about right. The cupcake thing is completely right. It's a con. I hate to break this to you, but having made all of these cakes,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
Cupcake, a bun. It's a basic
calm
bun,
down. Calm,
and it doesn't
excited.
Rise very far
calm
actually.
Down. Calm down.
But it's the frosting or the icing on top that's what makes it look fancy, right? And it's all about your technique with that. Boom.
You're losing people with the attitude.
What? I'm sorry. I get very passionate about cake.
Just bring it down.
I mean, you're in my.
You're
in my area now.
You're undermining me a little bit, so just bring it down a little if you can. Thank
well,
you.
This is how you get about the Beach Boys. Me on buns. Sorry, I'm not going to apologise.
I think you should, but...
Anyway, and actually sometimes when you get these cupcakes, if you take all the icing off, they're dead plain. They don't even taste nice as cakes. Whoa. It's a con.
If you could see her face, she looks disgusted.
It's a con. But some of them are beautiful and they're works of art and they look great and most of it is about what they look like.
Okay.
I do prefer a nice, well-risen bun.
Okay. I like nice buns. Let's go to Alan. Good evening, Alan.
Oh, hello, sir. I'm just calling up to say that I've just recently started taking depressing tablets because the doctor says I've got depressive behaviour.
Oh, yeah.
But I find your show, it relaxes me because I get quite angry a lot. I'm quite an angry person.
Yeah.
My life's quite angry. But your show really relaxes me like at night time because it's not the same. It's something different every night. I don't watch the news. I don't watch TV. So anything that I need to know about, you seem to tell me.
Well, I got to be. I have to.
Well, now
Alan,
you know all about cakes. Well done.
Alan,
I have to say.
Oh, you do know about cakes.
Me and Catherine don't know anything about anything. Honestly, we're two idiots. How long? So do you listen to any other radio shows? Because a lot of radio shows.
I used to listen to Chris Moyles, but I prefer you over Chris Moyles because Chris Moyles is too like. He's all about the money now, but you're just you.
There is no
That's
money.
How I feel.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other radio shows on phone-in stations. They are designed to make you angry. That's how they make their money and their listeners is by getting you angry, you know. And I don't want to... Now, when you say you've got anger issues, how does that manifest itself? What do you do? If you
I'm
don't
just,
mind me asking.
I can be... Like, I isolate myself because I can be around people and people just how they speak to me or they look at me, it can make me angry. The only thing that relaxes me is animals, like cats. I love cats.
Here we go. Yeah, cats are the soothers of the soul, aren't they? You can't be angry around a cat.
No, we've got this like dwarf cat. She's really cute. But yeah, she's relaxing. But I find nature relaxing. I think the world's become more like Mad Max these days, especially with the stabbings and the way the world's going these days.
Well,
people forget about what's what's you know, in life, what matters.
Which
really
is partly why, not because of anger for me necessarily, but because of being depressed. I played that. I don't know if you heard the bit of music we played at the start, that Vaughan Williams track.
Yeah, that was relaxing.
Isn't it? And this is the thing, man. And it works with depression and it works with anger. Being around like nature, and I consider that music to be like nature in the fact that it's very pure, and it, you know, there's no kind of hidden meaning. It's just a pure, beautiful thing, like a flipping tree. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, exactly. Yeah,
it's pure. Like you
can close your eyes and be lost with it.
Yeah, and being out, you know, going for a walk in the woods, man. And here's my tip. Leave your phone at home if you go for a walk. I don't know if you're near woods, but if you get the chance to just walk through woods.
I live right next to a lake, so I'll go and walk around the lake every day.
There you go, man. I used to be really angry. I mean, really angry. And I lost jobs because of it. And I bullied bosses because of it. And so, you know, I should have been sacked from LBC several times. The disgusting way I spoke to my two bosses there. Anger can still be a thing for me, but generally it's the last 8 or 9 years, incredibly better than it's ever been. Every now and then I'll go off, like, and I'm talking like maybe once a year I'll go off. But the place I'm at now, Alan, is as soon as I do it, maybe 5 minutes after, right? It might last a minute, and then 5 minutes later I come back down and I realise it was inappropriate, that there are other ways of dealing with stuff, and I will go straight to the person and apologise to them. And then, you know, so it does get better, is what I'm trying to say in a very convoluted way. It does get better.
I understand totally, because when I get angry, straight away I calm down and it's like a completely different me. And I understand that everything I just done was inappropriate and disgusting, and I do say sorry. And
there you go. That's
disgusted with myself.
That's half the battle. I was with my boys just after Christmas, and we took their gran out to the cinema, and there was a guy working at the cinema I thought was being a little bit finicky about where my mum's wheelchair should be, and I kind of snapped and went, "All right, mate. All right, listen. I've just put her there. I will sort it out." And I said to my boys, man, that guy really annoyed me, but the way I spoke to him was totally inappropriate, and I need to apologise. And they were sat there going, I couldn't apologise. I couldn't do that. I said, well, it's tough, and I feel uncomfortable, but I have to do it. And I made a point of going up to him in front of the boys and saying, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have spoken to you like that. Just worried about my mum, and you were absolutely right, and da la 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 la. And it was all cool. Do you meditate at all?
I actually believe in Buddhism. I have the yin and yang tattooed on the back of my head.
Okay, well, flipping it. All right. Maybe a bit of the ink got into your brain and that's what's making you angry. Maybe you're poisoned by Buddha.
I'm tattooed all over, really.
But do you? It's cool that you're into that, and I know a lot of people are. Do you meditate?
Yeah, I meditate. I've known to meditate since I was 14.
There you go. Well, then listen, meditation and walking around a lake and being aware of what you're doing, you've got the three key things, man. You'll be fine, brother.
Yeah, exactly. And the show, man, because like the show, man, all I do is I draw pictures like of superheroes.
Oh,
while I listen to your show, so like,
there we go.
It's cool.
Well, listen, man, send in some of the pictures of the superheroes. Maybe we'll put them in our book.
Yeah, we'll do. Actually, I'll send some cakes into you, some fairy cakes, something that actually tastes nice. That's made in the kitchen.
You know what I mean, though, don't you, about the cupcake thing? A lot of it's about what they look like, right?
Not always, because you could have a cake that looks bad and tastes really good, and you could have a cake that looks really good and tastes really bad.
That's what I found, right? That when you scrape off the icing, the cake underneath doesn't taste of anything at all.
It's got to be fluffy and nice and airy.
Well, I'm going to make the best cupcakes you've ever had. I'll bring one in, it's going to blow your freaking mind. Alan, it's really nice to talk to you, man. Thanks a lot, and thanks for the kind words.
Right.
Cheers, bye-bye. What a nice guy.
Yeah.
Joe's texted in. I see someone text you an apology and you're all sweetness and light. I text you an apology the other week and all I got was a snide remark. I'll take it you're on a dry drunk and leave it at that.
What?
Says Joe.
Take it on your what?
You're on a dry drunk. You know what a dry drunk is?
No.
It's someone who's an alcoholic who's not drinking but is still ragey and still obsessing. And
That's nice, Joe.
Yeah, except here's the thing, Joe, your name comes up on the screen underneath because you're called Jamie. So I don't know why you're lying about that. Your real name's Jamie.
We can see what you wrote in before as well.
I sent you,
be embarrassing.
I texted you an apology the other week. Well, let's find... let's find the apology you texted in... Okay. Gone back to the 17th and now... Here we go. I must apologise for my text the other night. I was trying to be witty about your taste in, and then I can't open it up. But...
Music. I remember this one. You were saying, for God's sake, Catherine, you take over the music choice or something.
Oh, OK.
I don't think we thought it was nasty anyway.
I don't think we thought it was nasty, did we? Well, hey, do you know what? Let's do this, brother. I was snidey then, and I apologise. Jamie, Joe, in Welsh Wales, I apologise. Peace and love. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I don't remember it.
We weren't offended.
I don't think I was offended. No. Don't remember. I don't think I'd be offended by someone. I think it was may have been a jokey. You say my music's rubbish. What do you know about music, fool?
I don't think you even mentioned it.
Oh, okay. In that case, then let's be. Can we be friends? Can we start again? Good. Hopefully we can. 034. Oh, there's a call from Australia. Let's go to a break, Sam, and take it.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000. You can call us from anywhere in the world, by the way, guys. And Fiona is calling us. Australia's a pretty big place, Fiona. Can we narrow it down at all?
Fiona, I'm in Sydney. I'm so nervous.
I nearly made a rude joke. And I've stepped back from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, do it, please.
The next step is not mentioning that you're going to do a rude joke.
Okay. No, she wants me to do it.
Oh, God.
I want it. Give it to me.
You're in Sydney. It's better than Sydney being in you.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh! Catherine?
I wouldn't say no.
Okay. You don't know Sydney. I'm talking about Sydney James. The dead man. Fiona, nice to talk to you. What are you listening to this rubbish in Australia?
Oh, God, I listen to you every single morning. You're my lifeline. I love it.
We're a decent slot in Australia.
We're the breakfast show.
instead of this.
You are.
This rubbish slot we got here. We're
9 o'clock.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. How long you been in Australia for?
Nearly 4 years.
Oh, really? I was going to say shorter because you have not, I've not heard it yet, but you've not got a hint of an Australian accent.
No,
and
normally,
British people...
No. It normally kicks in, doesn't it?
After about 6 months a year, there's just a little inflection.
They start talking like that.
Yeah.
No. Do you know what? If anything, I've become more London.
Good. That's the way it should be.
I'm just proudly London, you know?
That's what it should be when we go abroad.
That's what happened to me when we moved down south.
Yeah.
I got really broad for a while.
I know, Gavin. I always think that about you because, right, did you say you were 10 when you moved down?
Yeah.
Right, my parents are both Glaswegian and I lived in we moved down from Edinburgh to Essex when I was nearly 8.
Right.
And I got rid of my accent quite quickly and I always think, God, how come you managed to hold, you must have really had a strong...
I did.
Identity of who you were, you know, wanting to fit in.
No, I think what it was, my sister lost her accent straight away. In fact, she started knocking about with a New Zealander.
She's younger than you.
Yeah, she was 7 and I was 10. Right. And she started knocking around with some kids around the corner who were Kiwis. And she came back and she was sort of talking about chips and fish and talking like that. but I think because I got a bit picked on at school because I was the only, you know, people saying, oh, I've never heard anyone... Someone thought it was American because I said grass and pass. They'd never heard... It was quite a small town. They'd never heard of anyone... Yeah. I don't think they'd ever heard another accent, not on the telly. I became, all of a sudden, having grown up in an area where everyone spoke the same, I became really aware of, really self-aware and really conscious that whenever I spoke, like, people would be laughing and stuff. So instead of losing it, I got broader, like I was talking more northern than I'd spoken when we lived in Manchester. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing. But for somebody that age to do that and not have this wanting to fit in.
Yeah, it's weird really, isn't it? It took me a long while to get used to having moved, a really long while. I don't think I dealt with it particularly well. I was really quite a sad kid for a couple of years. But anyway, I'm all right now.
Yeah, good. You came through it.
Yeah.
It's hard though. Oh, it's so hard, I tell you.
Are you out there? Are your family with you?
Yes, I've got two boys like you. They're 11 and 13.
God, flip. So hang on. Whoa. So what? Yeah. They were 8 and 10 when they moved.
Yes.
Right.
Mate, that must have been tough.
Yeah, it was.
I bet they were hard. No, I'm not in any way. This isn't in any way criticism of you. You know, you've obviously done the right thing for your family, but they must have been heartbroken, especially the 10-year-old. I would have thought.
Actually, he wasn't quite 10. Hang on. They were 9 and 7.
Okay.
It was hard. They're all right, actually.
Yeah.
Like my younger one found it really hard. It took him, when he was 7, because he was a very shy boy anyway,
yeah.
And it took him a while to settle in, because he's very smart as well. And he didn't, my older boy told me, would come home and say, Liam was walking around a tree in the playground on his own all the time, you know?
Mate. Yeah.
And for a long time, oh my God, I was just a bag of nerves because I was just worrying about him all the time.
Yeah.
But now he's found his feet. He's in a special, they here in year 5 and 6 in some schools, they have a special, it's like selective. So it's like a grammar school. It's like for the smart kids, like gifted and talented. And
yeah.
He's in that now. And so he's found his people, you know, because he just didn't, he's not sporty.
He didn't want to hang out with the thick kids. This guy's a genius. He wants to hang out with Einstein. Good for him.
He is. And he, you know, I really admire him because he's not the sort of kid who will hang around with people that he doesn't want to hang around with. He would rather be on his own than be with divs, you know. And I'm like that as well.
Divs.
Isn't that funny? Because sometimes I've got a kid like that, and it's at first I was worried that she was antisocial or shy or underconfident, but it wasn't that. She's so confident that she doesn't feel the need to join in with anything she doesn't dig. You know, she'll join in when she wants.
Yeah, which is admirable, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it was a worry. It was a worry, and he's had some difficult times, but now he's really, really happy. And my other son is into rowing, and like we live near the water, and he goes rowing, and that's awesome. And
what a life!
Sailing, they've learned how to sail, and yeah. But it's bloody tough, mate. I tell you, it's.
Well,
it's
hang
not
on,
easy
sorry.
Being in your 40s.
It's bloody tough, mate. There it was. It's bloody tough, mate. You get it came out.
No, that was London. That was no.
You keep telling yourself that.
No, mate.
Fiona, is there anything we can do for you, or did you just want to phone up and say hello?
I've got a lot I could talk about, but I don't want to go into that right now.
Okay,
but
well, you can, but you don't have to.
I was cleaning the bathroom.
Oh, and you thought of us, thanks.
And I was cleaning the toilet.
Oh, come on, and you thought of Kath.
Harry, well, because I'm the only one that cleans the toilet.
Huh? Oh, listen, I've had a colonoscopy this week, so it needed cleaning.
Oh, blimey. They give you some strong
anyway.
Stuff for that, don't they? Clean as a whistle.
Oh, yes. Ooh. Bloody hell. Go see you like a dose of
salt. I remember my granddad having one of those, and he said to the doctor, he said, along with these pills, you should give me some toilet roll and some running spikes.
Move on. Yeah. Moving on, please. This is not a lavatorial show. This isn't a intellectual show.
When I was coming back from it, we were in the Uber, and me and my husband were looking through the pictures of my colon that the doctor had given me.
Beautiful.
We were just discussing it, because it turns out I've got Crohn's disease.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
So anyway, the driver goes, oh, it sounds like you've been through the ringer. Insert your own joke here, you know. We were like, well, something's been through my ringer. Anyway.
There's a Beach Boys song. I think it's a cover of like an old 50s song. And the line goes, no, it's I think it's an original song. Right. And I mean, the line is, to get you, baby, went through the ringer.
Okay.
I just think, come on, guys, really? And I know it doesn't mean that, but in my head, it means bumhole.
In your head,
in
yes.
In my head.
Yes.
Right.
I just, it was a couple of things actually that made me call, because I've been thinking about it for a while now, because I've been listening to you for about a year and a half, I think.
Hey, wicked, thank you.
And it was a couple of things. It was about the reading with the book with the kids. We've got to force our boys to read, especially my older one. He just doesn't want to read at all, and we got so worried about it. We actually got tested by a child psychologist.
Well, to see if he's dyslexic or something.
To see if he was dyslexic,
yeah,
but no, it turns out
he just don't fancy it.
He's just a lazy little tow rag.
but then I don't have a problem with that. As long as, you know, the option is there. And if they don't enjoy it, they don't enjoy it. Yeah. You know, I think it's a shame because books, I think, are the greatest gift in the world. Yeah. But if they don't dig it...
It may be that he finds his thing, reading thing, later on in life. He finds something that he's interested in and he pursues it that way. But it's what kids are gits, aren't they? Because the more you want them to do something, the more they dig their heels in.
Yes, absolutely. And we kind of... you know, threaten them with pocket money being cut off and stuff.
Read this book or you will have no money and be grounded for a month.
Well, actually, my dad, when I was about 14, because he wanted me to read something that was, you know, life-changing and a bit more challenging, he used to bribe me to read books. He used to pay me, he'd pay me a tenner if I read a hard book.
My youngest phoned up the other day. I spoke to him the other day and he said, guess what? Mummy's going to pay me to clean up the living room. I said, oh, right, okay. Thinking, I don't know if I agree with this parenting. He said, how much is she going to pay you? He went, 5p. And I went, right, come a little bit closer to the phone. That's not very much money. So he went and demanded more money. And he came back, he went, she's going to pay me 20p.
Oh, bargaining skills.
Sucker. Anyway, go on, sorry, we keep interrupting. Sorry, quiet now.
No, that's all right. I'm having a chat. About cupcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Fairy cakes, yeah, right?
Buns.
About, I don't know, 10 years ago, there was a place in Greenwich and it was one of these, it's like a little ceramic cafe thing and they've got ceramic...
Oh, well, you paint the pot.
Teapots and cups. And,
They're fun for about 6 months of your life when you've got kids and then you go, this is expensive and then they're crap.
Exactly. But for Father's Day, we went in there and the boys, one of them did a mug and one of them did a money box that was shaped like a motorbike.
Oh.
And because it was a cafe, I went up to buy, I said, oh, we'll have two of those fairy cakes. And the girl who worked there, who was the manager, she said, the cupcakes? And I said, oh, God, I hate calling them cupcakes. That's so American.
Yeah.
And she took huge offense at me saying this. Like, what? She was really, I could tell that she was.
What was she, like 25 or something?
Yeah, she was young, yeah.
We've never heard of fairy cake.
But so much so that when I went back a few days later to get to pick up the things because they'd been put in the kiln,
they've got to glaze them, haven't they? Yeah,
it was broken. One of them, she just handed it to me broken without a word of apology.
You know what I'm saying? She vandalized your kid's little money box because you called it a fairy cake.
Was she crying? Was she crying icing tears?
Come on. Is that not a little paranoid, Fiona? Did you say anything to her?
No, of course not.
You just took the broker. Did you not go? I'd have gone, how did this break?
No, she just shoved a voucher in my hand.
Oh, God.
For like £5 off for the next
for
visit.
Cupcakes.
Or something.
Well, £5, they're expensive.
I was very
places.
British about it. I just went out muttering under my breath, you know.
Well, if that happened to me, I would have actually emigrated to Australia to avoid the embarrassment. Fiona, listen, I have to go because we're late for the ads. Give us a call again. It's so nice to talk to you.
I will. Lovely to talk to you. I can't believe it. I'm still shaking.
We can't believe it. Honestly, I was saying this the other day. We're thrilled that people listen to us abroad. We're quite old-fashioned and have been doing this for years when you broadcast to the three-mile area that your transmitter went. So to know that there are people not only listening in Australia, but actually picking up the phone and calling in and stuff, that means the world to us, Fiona. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, Fiona.
What a nice lady. What a great family. Those guys. Simon, stay there. Come to you in a bit. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.